whatever I suppose you do, but a long time ago. And then he went into evangelism, and he's been on the road. He lives in Iowa. You'll see an Iowa plate on a pickup over there. That's his truck. And but he's been serving the Lord in this field for several years now, too. So Brother Cliff will be preaching for us. Come on, brother. And we're glad to have you back with us. It's been quite a few years since he's been here. Actually, it's not as many as I thought it was, but it seems like it's been a long time. Good to have you, brother.
Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? With all these early risers. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is this my water?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I just didn't want to share. Okay. I have a drier mouth at 8 o'clock in the morning than I do. All right. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see you all out. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Psalm 117. I'm glad to be here. And I'm an early riser, but my wife is not, so she's not with us right now. Psalm 117. If you don't mind, we'll read the whole psalm. And it's one of those long ones. Amen. All right. I know you're all comfortable. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. And matter of fact, that's what an evangelist is for, is to make you uncomfortable. So if you got comfortable, I got to make you uncomfortable. Amen. All right. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to be in your house. Dear God, I'm thankful for those that have come out this morning. And I pray, dear God, that you'll do a work in each heart and give us exactly what we need this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you to notice in verse 2, it says, the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Go over here a couple pages. For my Bible, it's a couple pages. Psalm 119 and verse 30. Psalm 119 and verse 30. It says, I have chosen the way of truth. I have chosen the way of truth. I pray today that you have chosen the way of truth. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Once you get a hold of the truth, don't get rid of it. Keep it. Treasure it. My goodness, do you realize there are people out in this world seeking for truth and they never find it? Ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Over in Matthew chapter 13, there's a parable that Jesus gave of a merchant. And a merchant is one that tries to make money. And if you don't make money, you're not a very good merchant. But he found a pearl of great price. He sold everything that he had just to get this pearl of great price. His plan was not to sell the pearl of great price, but to keep it and hold on to it. I believe the pearl of great price is the truth, and it's worth everything you've got to get a hold of the truth. And the Bible says here in Psalm 117, that the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Now, do you realize that the truth is found in three areas? And those three areas are the precept, the person, and the place. And I'm going to preach quick. We'll be done here before you know it. But I want you to think about these three things about the truth. get a hold of that pearl, great price. Grab a hold of it with everything you've got. Don't let go of the pearl of great price. Buy the truth and sell it not. And you find it in these three areas. The first is precept. In John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. So what we're talking about in precept, we're talking about the word of God. Thy word is truth. Where are we going to find the truth? Well, we're going to find it in the word of God. Now, you're not going to find it in all the philosophies of men. You're not going to find it in all the books that man has come up with. Do you realize that when you go over there to Matthew chapter 7, you find that there's two men. One was foolish and one was righteous and good. And they built their houses on two different types of foundation. One built his foundation upon the rock. And when the storms came, I want to tell you something. When the storms came, that house that he built upon the rock withstood the storms and stayed. But the fellow that built his house upon the sand, when the storm came, his house could not endure the storm. It fell, and the Bible says, and great was the fall of it. I want to tell you something. We build our house, our Christian house, our Christian life upon the rock, Christ Jesus, and it will not fall. But if you find the truth in other areas and you think it's the truth and it's the philosophies of men. By the way, do you realize the philosophies of men always change? The ideas about drug use back in the 60s certainly aren't the ideas of drug use in the year 2019. We've got a different idea about what's right and what's wrong in the eyes of the world. And folks, they're so proud of themselves because they're so tolerant concerning everything that's out there in the world. But one day, they'll come to the realization that some of the things that they thought were good today aren't good anymore. And so their philosophy will change. God's philosophy never changes. It endureth forever. It's not going to change. Matter of fact, do you realize that, look over here if you will, in the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And notice what it says down here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Thy word is truth. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul's writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, and he says, I charge thee in verse 1, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. He says, preach the philosophies of men. Oh, that's not what I said. Oh, I must have a different version. Okay. Think I should? All right. No, that's not what it says at all, is it? It says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. It says, preach the word. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 17? Thy word is truth. Preach the truth. That's what he's saying. Preach the truth. You don't need to seek truth in any other area. You don't need a commentary to find out what the truth is. The truth is here. It's in the word of God. By the way, the Lord gave us a treasure chest. It's called the word of God. It's a gift that he's given to us. All we have to do is open the lid and get into the treasure chest and find what he's got there for us within those pages. You get into that, there it is, the truth. It's staring us in the face. How many times I've been to somebody's house and I ask them if they have a Bible. Oh, yeah, I got a Bible. It takes them 45 minutes to an hour to find it. Got a Bible? Oh, yeah, I got a Bible. And they look under 10 tons of magazines to get it. Got a Bible? Oh, yeah, I got a Bible. And they bring it out, blowing the dust off of it. We got the truth, but yet we watch television rather than getting into the truth. We listen to some guy on the radio rather than getting into the truth. Preach the truth. Preach the word. Get into the truth. Dig into the depths of the truth. Men are ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why are they learning? What are they learning? They're learning the philosophies and the doctrines of men. They believe somehow that all of this came into existence because there was a big blob floating around in space and it blew up and everything just fell into place. And some scholarly teacher will get before you and talk with these big long words that nobody understands. And think, wow, that guy must know what he's talking about because he's got all these long words that nobody understands. And he's telling me that all fell into place because a big blob blew up. And we all just follow along. There's a lot of Christians that follow along, but do you realize the truth is founded upon the first verse of the Bible? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You see, the whole thing's founded on that one verse. If that verse isn't true, John chapter 3 and verse 16 is not true. If in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth isn't the truth, then for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Listen, folks, that's not the truth. The truth is from the beginning. In the beginning, God. And it ends with God. It's all in the it's all there, and it's all the truth. Anything else outside of that is a philosophy of man. Preach the truth. Now notice what it says here, down here in verses 3 and 4. It says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth." Wow. "And shall be turned into fables." People want somebody to get before them and pat them on the head and scratch them behind the ears and make them feel good. Sometimes people leave church and say, "Man, I don't feel very good now." I've had people say, "Man, you beat me over the head with the Word of God. You know, man alive. Come on, aren't you supposed to be more devotional? Aren't you supposed to make me feel good about myself?" Well, that sometimes, you know, the truth, the Bible talks about the truth being a mirror. And you look into a mirror and you see yourself in a mirror. Now, unless that mirror's distorted, but if it's a mirror and it's a good mirror, you can see what you really are in that mirror. You see every hair that's out of place, and you see your tie that's crooked, and you see the pimples on your face, and you see everything that's wrong with you in that mirror. Listen, that's what the truth will do to you. It's not going to lie to you. Thy word is truth. God is the truth, and he cannot lie. And hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So we have the truth here. What do you want, God to tell you a lie? Do you think God's going to tell you something and then just scratch you behind the ears, make you feel good about your sin? That's not the way things work. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because we're sinners, we're going to fall short. That's what the truth tells us. I was sitting with another preacher friend of mine, and we were witnessing to a fella in his living room, and opened up the Word of God in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The fellow looked at me and says, "Are you calling me a sinner?" I said, "No, I'm not calling you anything. But the Word of God is pointing that out." He got up and went into his bedroom, and I didn't know what was going on. He came out with a shotgun. I said, "Brother Rice, it's time to go." And we ran out the door. But the fact of the matter is this: he didn't want to hear the truth. You know, there's too many people out in this world that don't want to hear the truth. They want somebody to make them feel good about their sin. They want somebody to be tolerant concerning their sin. They want somebody to scratch them behind the ears and pat them on the head like they would their puppy. That's not the way it works. By the way, look back here in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy in verse 15. It says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." This is the holy truth. Why? Because it comes directly from God, which are able to make thee wise. The truth will make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, all truth is given by inspiration of God. That means that it's God-breathed. It's spoken by God. This is from God himself. And the word given, that's a gift. This is the gift of God. Man, when you're given a gift, what do? You open it. There it is. This is a gift that God gave me. And by the way, you're holding one in your lap. God gave you that. Somebody say, "No, I spent $45 for that Bible." No, you didn't. God gave it to you. Amen. By the way, you wouldn't have the $45 to spend for that Bible if it hadn't been for God. God gave you that. That's a gift from God, and it's profitable. Notice it says here, verse 16 of chapter 3, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Why is it profitable? Because it's the truth. We have the truth. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. For doctrine, that's the teachings. Some people call it the teachings of the church. No, it's the teachings of the Christian life. It's God's teachings, how we're to act. For reproof, that's when we get scolded. I remember when I was a kid, somebody would scold me. I'd turn red and feel all bad for myself because I got caught. Somebody would scold me for correction. That's when they turn you over the knee and paddle you. Well, they don't do that nowadays, I guess, but that's what should happen. For instruction in righteousness, that's how we know how to act. Listen, it's profitable. This is a profitable book because it's the truth. Number one, the truth is found in precept. That's the Word of God. Number two, truth is found in a person. A person. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You're going to find the truth in Jesus. People are trying to find the truth in Buddha. People don't even know who Buddha was. Matter of fact, there could have been more than one Buddha. All I know is a fat guy made a statue out of him. I was at a Chinese restaurant, and there was a Buddha beside the cash register, and I patted him on the head, and the Chinese lady behind him, oh, we don't touch Buddha. Oh, he's unapproachable. Confucius, all these sacred writings people compare with the Word of God, and they're all worthless. Somebody tried to compare the Quran to the Word of God, and it's just paper. Folks, the truth is found in Jesus, not all these other religious leaders in the world. Pilate, in John chapter 18, was looking at Jesus, looked right in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he asked the question, what is truth? Jesus could have said, it doesn't say that, but he could have said, I am. I am the truth. But Pilate walked away and washed his hands. Look, if you will, over here in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. And notice what it says here in John, chapter 1. Look down here. Now, we understand that Jesus came into the world, and he was born of a virgin, and he lived a sinlessly pure life. Now, I want you to understand something. I've had people say, well, you know, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is only found in two books, the book of Matthew and the book of Luke. Well, it's found here in John also. I want you to notice verse 14. It says, the Word became flesh. The Word, what is the Word? It's not talking about the written Word now. We're talking about the person. And matter of fact, look in verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So we're talking about a person. We're talking about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, we could talk a long time about grace, and most people try to explain grace this way, God's riches at Christ's expense. And that's not a bad, you know, but the fact of the matter is, that doesn't even scratch the surface. And by the way, if we were to talk about grace, I don't think we could ever. Francis Schaeffer said that he studied grace for 12 years and only scratched the surface. Anybody that thinks they can understand grace is far greater than any person in this room. We'll never do it. We'll never be able to do that. We can't understand the mind. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Grace is something that we accept something that we understand that God has given to us and we don't deserve, but we don't fully understand grace. I read a verse over in John chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Grace is not found in that verse, but love and grace go hand in hand. And the fact of the matter is that when you read that verse, what you see all around it is grace. This is what God sees. He looks beyond our wicked, vile, no good, sinning life, and he goes beyond that and becomes our friend. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us." We didn't care. We didn't care for him. All we cared for was ourselves. We didn't care that Jesus died for us. All we cared for was whatever sin we were in, and the next day doing the same thing over and over again. We didn't think about eternity. It didn't matter to us. Live for today. That's all that mattered. But Jesus Christ looked beyond all of that. And by the way, as sinners, we're enemies of God. By the way, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus didn't lay down his life for his friends. He laid down his life for his enemies. He died for us, sinners, and he looked beyond our sin and accepted us as friends. That's grace. You can understand that, you see, you're greater than I am. But I want you to notice, it's full of grace and truth. Where do we find truth? Jesus. Look at verse 17. Didn't say it just once. "For the law was given by Moses," and thank God we're not in the day of the law. For one thing, if we were living under the law, I'd be out there someplace under a pile of rocks. They'd stoned me. Amen? But notice it says here, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." You can go looking for truth, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Because they close their eyes to Jesus. I remember we went to the state capitol in Iowa, some preachers, and we went down there to talk to some of our elected officials, and one of our preachers was asked to pray during that session they were having, but he says there's one condition. We have some Muslims here and some other religions, and so you can't use the name of Jesus when you pray. So preacher didn't say yes or no to that. He just heard their little spiel. Isn't it odd that Jesus is the one that's left out? But I remember he got up to pray, and I didn't do the counting. Somebody else did, but I think he used the name Jesus 15 times in that prayer. He wasn't worried about offending any Muslims or any other religions, because Jesus is the name that's above every other name. It's at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. The fact of the matter is, he's the truth, and the truth endureth forever. That's what Psalm 117 verse 2 said, "The truth endureth forever." And my Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. Where are you going to find the truth? Well, so far we found the truth in precept. That's the Word of God. Just open it, and you'll find the truth. It's a treasure chest of truth. Where else we find the truth? In Jesus. No sense looking in any other way but Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way. Here is the path. Walk ye in it." Jesus' way. It's the narrow way. It's the way that most people have rejected. They'd rather go down the broad way. But here's the narrow way, the path where it isn't so beaten down. It's the one where we follow Jesus 100%. Number three, truth is found in a place. Look, if you will, in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. It says this, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself. Where are we behaving ourselves? In the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, somebody say, well, you know, I believe in the universal church. That's not what this is talking about. It's not talking about a universal church. And you need to change your doctrine. I believe in a local church. This is a local church. That's, by the way, that's what that's. Where are we going to behave ourselves? In the universal church or the invisible church that you can't see? But here we can see this. It's in the house of God, which is the church. This is where we behave. I remember when I was a kid, well, I was raised in church. And after Sunday school, we'd come running up the steps, and there's always this older lady in the church. And she'd say, now we don't run in the church. What was she telling me? She said, there's a certain way we behave ourselves in the church. And I'm not sure that's talking about running in the church. But there's always that somebody over there, you know, trying to slow the kids down. You're just filled with energy. You've been stuck in a Sunday school class for an hour. Now you want to do something, you know, and you're filled with all that energy. But the fact of the matter is there's a certain way to behave ourselves in the house of God. But it goes on. It says it's the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, you see, this is a highway out here, and this highway has a lot of cars going by, but they should be able to look over at this church and say, there is the pillar and ground of the truth. If you ever want to know how to be saved, there's how you can be saved. You go to that church, and they'll tell you the truth. Listen, they have a pulpit there, and from that pulpit, that divine desk, somebody will stand behind that divine desk and preach the truth. They're not going to pat you on the head. They're not going to scratch you behind the ears, but they're going to be preaching the truth. It is the pillar and ground of the truth. Folks, I want you to understand something, that we're becoming fewer and fewer in this country today, but I want you to understand something. There are churches out there that still stand on the truth. And when you go by, you can say they are the pillar and ground of the truth. I believe this with all my heart. Most of the churches I go to are a lot smaller than this church. When I go to these churches, these little churches that run 25 to 50 people, I want to tell you something. Those are the backbone of America. And when they close their doors, I'm going to tell you something. America will be done. Some folks think America's done now, but wait until those churches close down. It will be done. This church or this country depends on those little churches, and we don't even know it. We need the pillar and the ground of the truth where people can, listen, you go up to Greg, there's no community up there at all. There's hardly anything around. People come out of the woodwork just to go hear the truth. You go out there to Podunk, Iowa. And there is a Podunk, Iowa. You go out there to Podunk, Iowa, there's a church in the middle of nowhere, but people come out of the woodwork to go hear the truth. We need those little pillars of truth every place in America and around the world. I've been to Kenya, Africa twice. And when I was over there, we went out. They took me on a 5-mile trek up this mountain. I thought I'd die before I got there. I mean to tell you, I said, are we ever going to get to this place? Then when we got there, there wasn't even a building there. It was a tree, and they had run out some rope out and covered it up with, it looked like blankets. And we met under these blankets. But people started coming. I don't know where they were coming from. I didn't pass any homes. It was out in the middle of nowhere. People started coming. Before you know it, we had people underneath those blankets, and then they were spread out all around there. Why'd they come? They wanted to hear the truth. And they wanted to hear somebody proclaim the truth. Folks, I want to tell you something. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And the Bible says the truth will endure forever, forever. Somebody say, oh, the church will come to an end. No, it won't. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus says, I will build my church. Now, the fact of the matter is, in that verse 18, if you study it properly, that's perpetual. The gates of hell shall never prevail against the church. Never. Now, somebody might have a wrong idea about the gates of hell. We think that the gates of hell are just a gate. Do you realize that the gates of hell are the political systems of the world? You study the Old Testament very closely and you find out every political thing that had to be taken care of, every matter of business that had to be taken care of, they went to the gate of the city. That's where they met. That's where the politicians went. That's where the leaders went. They went there, and that's where they dealt with all the business. When Boaz had to do his redeeming things that he had to do for Ruth, he went to the gate, and that's where they dealt. Listen, the gate, politics, we're so wrapped up in politics, we think that the only thing in the world is politics, and that's all we think about. We get magazines concerning what's going on in Washington. We get all this trash that we listen to on the radio. We listen to Rush Limbaugh and all these other people, and we think they're the greatest people in the world, and they probably are. But the fact of the matter is that everything doesn't rest on politics. It's not given a pretty picture in the Bible. You think about the leaders that you can think of off the top of your head that are in the Bible. The first one that comes to my mind is Herod. Oh, man, he's an example. What a loving guy he was. Just because one baby was born, he kills all the others, trying to catch up with him. No, he's a wonderful guy. But the fact of the matter is that it all boils down to this. Because I don't know where I was going with that. I've lost my track. Here it is. The truth found in three areas. Found in precept, that's the Word of God. Found in a person, that's the Son of God. And found in a place, that's the church of God. Those three areas. And my Bible says, the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Buy the truth and sell it not. That pearl of great price is out there. Grab a hold of it and hold on to it with everything you've got. Let's stand very quietly. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. I pray, dear God, that you'd work. Perchance there's someone here that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. I pray for Christians to pray for the work of the church. And those they need to reach for Christ. Please, dear God, work. Maybe there's sin in somebody's life that needs to be dealt with. Lord, take control of the service right now. Please, dear God, work in hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Here's the preacher.
Let me ask you a couple of questions. Are you making much of the truth? Think about this. Think about your life. Do you read the truth? Is it a consistent pattern in your life that you're in the Bible, that you read the Bible, that you look at the Bible, that you study the Bible? That's the precepts, the Word of God. That's where they are. Psalm 119, the word is used multiple times. Where are you there? You have got to spend time in God's Word if you're going to grow. Do you know Jesus? He is the person of truth. And don't be like Herod when he said, what is truth? He didn't ask that like he wanted to know. He asked it in a mocking way. There is a truth. And the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. It is the place, but I want to preface something. It's not just any church. It has to be a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching church. Because there's churches that are full of false. So I want to ask you a question. What are you doing with truth? Father, I pray in Jesus' name you speak to hearts. and that people would make much of truth. They'll make a commitment this morning to say, you know what, I'm going to be in the Bible more. I'm going to read the Bible more. I'm going to make the Bible a larger and more important part of my life. I pray that that would happen. I pray for those that don't know Jesus as Savior, that they'll come in a moment in faith place. And Lord, they'll come to trust Jesus as the living Word of God, the truth in a person. So whatever the need is, Lord, in this area, I pray you'd meet it and challenge all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. With our heads bowed, our eyes are closed, faith place. What are you going to do with truth? You're going to make much of truth? You're going to memorize truth and read truth? Be in the Word of God more consistently, faithfully, daily? Study it. Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God. Be faithful to the church. That's where you hear the truth. Be faithful. I heard a preacher say one time out in California, be fiercely loyal to the local church. Father, I come and I thank you for the Word of God this morning and the simple message on truth, the Bible, the person, and the church. And Lord, we need truth. And I pray that you would help us to consistently and faithfully and never waver from standing on the truth. The truth is the truth. And you said the truth shall set you free. And the only way to freedom is to understand truth. Lord, may we be a church that stands there. May we be individuals that stand there. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. All right, I guess you can go back and get ready for Sunday.